The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on a break!
With Ambar Garcia, Brian Broaddus, Patrick Walker, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Tuesday, January 9th, 2024, season 19, episode number 104. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We're live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. It is playoff week, and before we get into our breakdown of Cowboys versus Packers on tomorrow, today we will do a bigger picture look around this team, around some of the storylines from the season, and looking forward into the playoffs, some of the things that we think will be important for this team if they want to achieve their ultimate goal of advancing and advancing beyond the first, second, maybe even third round of the playoffs. Before we get...
I just wanted to point something out real quick. You two gave me crap about it yesterday.
Come on with it.
You gave me crap for it yesterday.
Please, Chris,
show Patrick how he's dressed today.
Do that.
Fully obnoxious.
Do that.
Rocking out all the Super Bowl wins that the Cowboys have had.
When you finish, I'll explain.
No, I'm just... His answer to this is he wants to serve as inspiration when he walks into the locker room.
100%.
Players see it and be like, oh, man, we need to add to this.
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
Make me buy a new hat. This is actually to counteract the bad juju that Ambar put on the team yesterday.
That makes a lot more sense.
That's worse.
This is
you're walking around like a champ.
No, I'm walking
Let's
around
calm down.
As a reminder, this is how champs, this is what it looks like when you do what you need to do for this organization. You get a patch on the jacket, and they change hats and make it six times instead of five times Super Bowl champion. As opposed to one of our famed analysts guaranteeing that this is the year.
Hey, Patrick. Our trusted producer, Chris, wanted me to remind you. Locker rooms tomorrow.
I know that.
Okay, good. Just making sure you knew.
Yeah, but they're still in the building.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Absolutely.
All right.
This is more soda for her.
All right. Okay. All right.
So I should
wear my Super Bowl Packer ring then, right?
Is that bad juju?
Then that goes
see, we're
right
back to bad juju, right?
We keep flipping back and forth.
No,
that's bad juju.
I'll keep it in the closet.
No, that's a bad idea.
Okay.
This show is just off the rails. Y'all killed it before we got it going.
I knew better not to wear my Packers Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, let's leave that one in the box at home, Brian.
We don't need that.
That's an old ring.
It's been a while. All right, let's talk a little bit about first, let's get a quick update on Stephon Gilmore. Yesterday we heard a little bit about where he is. Yeah. What are we hearing at this point as far as his health?
Well, Jerry spoke this morning on 105.3 The Fan, and he didn't guarantee that Gilmore will be on the field, but he did say, quote unquote, he counts on him being on the field, which basically, mirrors the sentiment of McCarthy and Stephen Jones. They both expect that he'll play. Gilmore himself expects that he'll play. Like Brian explained yesterday, just shoulder popped out, subluxation, it popped back in. The MRI results came back, and McCarthy said that it was much better than anticipated. So very, very good news as far as Gilmore's availability. He'll probably play in that shoulder harness. Outside of that, just something to keep an eye on, but he might even get some practice time this week. I would not, but he might, so maybe in a limited capacity.
Brian, how much does that shoulder harness like restrict movement? Because obviously for a corner, you got a lot of stretching that you have to do. And
got to play with that offhand, depending on, you don't want that to be. It's gotten better over the years. It used to be just
then really, when you were with the Packers.
It used to be really restrictive in far as the movement. And, they've developed better ones and stuff like that. I still feel like that if in fact, and I'll check on that to see if he's wearing anything for us or talk to the equipment guys, is sometimes they can adjust your pads.
Mm-hmm.
They could build your pads up or take them down in order to help with movement and stuff like that. He wears small pads.
Yeah, I was going to say, he doesn't even
wear small pads. Yeah. So, he's going to have to be – it's a physical game. He's going to have to make plays. So, we'll see with that. But it used to be back in the day, man. That was a – that thing kept that shoulder and arm tight to your body. And you, as a corner – like say you need to play with that offhand if you're driving on the ball. There was a couple of times in the game the other day, man, he was just like inches away from knocking a pass down, you know, that was caught. But, you know, you got to be able to be able to do that to play corner.
What's interesting is, and they're never going to put a player out there that shouldn't be out there if they're not healthy. They're not going to do that. But what's interesting, we're at a point now that you're all in. Like, there's no, like, rest now or, like, let's save him for another game. It's like, now it's, if you're kind of, if there is a faded green light, that means go, it's time to go. But is it more, with that stuff, is it, like, more pain tolerance type of stuff too?
Well, you would probably worry about it popping out again.
Yeah. Slightly
that's
weakened.
But even if it's in, is he still dealing with pain?
It's sore. Yeah, that's sore, and they can medicate that if they so choose to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's football players are a different breed, man. When it comes to pain tolerance and that sort of thing, I was literally just in a meeting, and the topic came up of Tony Romo, if you remember that game in San Francisco. Yeah,
punctured lung,
and they had literally in the press box they had been told he's out, he's not coming back in this game. And next thing you know, he's running out of the tunnel, grabs his helmet, he's back in the game, and they go and win the game. And so football players are different. So as you talk about this time of year, want to be on the field because they know these times are rare. You only get so many opportunities at this, and they want to be a part of it.
One of the funny things to look at is the injury report the day of the Super Bowl. Neither team has a guy running.
Everybody's like, I'm good.
Everybody's healthy.
It is, you know, and we've seen it with hockey players in playoff time in hockey. Like, they have injury. And well, he played with a torn knee, or he tore his back. He was missed a disc injury. Yeah, and they play.
Yeah.
They play every other night. And football, nobody wants to be left out of this.
Yeah.
Because you work all year for this opportunity. And
the whole life.
Yeah. Every game, the injury report gets a little less and less and less. Until the end, if you're the final one, it's like, no injuries reported, no injuries reported, and then you go play the game.
And by the way, everybody right now has something they're probably dealing with.
Everybody's got something they're dealing with.
It's not going to get any better, but the fact is, as the games go on and get more important, everybody wants to be
out there. Nobody will talk about it. Yeah. Nobody will even go near the training room. They will figure out ways to avoid having to go in the training room.
It's like Ambar said, if it's a faded green light, actually, if it's a yellow light, go.
Yeah.
Go. In this regard, ladies and gentlemen, not actually traffic laws, just abide by the laws.
No. Yeah. Hey, you're allowed to still go in yellow. Yeah.
I plead the fifth.
And then, but if it's red, obviously
I'm not playing that game. Not on the record, I'm not.
that's proof. All right, let's talk a little bit about coaches and GMs.
It's Sam Williams, huh?
Wow. Oh, man.
All right, let's talk a little bit about coaches and GMs. There have been a few teams that have been reaching out here to the Cowboys. Let's focus. Been a few teams that have been reaching out to the Cowboys here over the last 24 hours about coaching positions, about GM positions. Jerry addressed it a little bit this morning on with Sean and RJ and Bobby on 105.3 The Fan. Carolina, the Chargers, and Washington have reportedly reached out to interview Dan Quinn. And Carolina and Washington reportedly have interviewed or are asking to interview Will McClay. My question for you guys is, when you look at both those two guys, I think obviously we all agree they're very important what the Cowboys are doing here. The bigger question is, how much would it hurt the operation if you were to lose one or both of these guys?
Come on, Afrin. Come on, Afrin.
I was going to say, we've been through this how many times now? Like three times?
Yeah, it's going to be an annual
with Quinn, yeah.
I trust Jerry Jones' power and wallet to make it happen, whatever needs to happen, clearly. I mean, we know they absolutely love and respect Will McClay and everything that he's done and his trajectory and the success that he's had drafting players. And we've seen how Dan Quinn has completely turned around this whole defense since I started working here. Like, for 10 years ago, it looks completely different. So I think, and they've held on to him, I think it depends what happens, how far they get into the playoffs. Is Dan Quinn willing to kind of, because last year, that's kind of what happened. He was wanting to stick with his group. He truly believed in the group of players that he had. He fully saw the vision of where this team could go, and he wanted to be part of that. That's why he kind of stayed here with the Cowboys. So I don't know what happens if, let's say, how far the Cowboys make it. Does he decide to stay at a as a coordinator, or does he move on to wanting to now become a head coach?
Well, my thing with it is eventually it is inevitable Dan Quinn will return to the head coaching ranks. And I think that the timeline on when he does that depends on the amount of success that he can have here. So I say that to say if the Cowboys are able to make this run to the Super Bowl and potentially win the Super Bowl, he will have achieved what he came here to achieve. And then it makes it easier for him to kind of look at those other opportunities. I will also say I think the other opportunities have to be favorable for him. He was the front runner for that Denver Broncos position before that didn't happen for him. So it's not to say that he's not willing to leave, but there is a lot to be said as far as what you alluded to, Ambar. He loves this unit, and he knows he's not going to get a Michael Parsons on every other team. He's not going to get Trayvon Diggs on every other team. He's not going to get, you know, Deron Bland, a late round pick, turned into a franchise NFL record setter. So that goes to the importance of keeping Will McClay around as well. I really think this is like a symbiotic relationship type deal, because what's the scouting department look like at the next team that he goes to? It's so much on the table. And as far as Will McClay is concerned, well, let me really quick. I think Dan Quinn sticks around unless the Cowboys win the Super Bowl. If they win the Super Bowl, it makes it easier for him to go and try to achieve that as a head coach versus a coordinator, because then he will have achieved it twice as a defensive coordinator, but not yet as a head coach. Will McClay, I know Will McClay loves this organization, loves this city. His family is rooted here. I don't think he wants to go. He has as much power as he needs to have in this organization, sans the title of general manager, but he doesn't care about that title. He cares about the ability and the relationships, and that is present here. So as much as other teams will rightfully come after Will McClay year after year after year, there's a reason. Money is one, but also the relationships and the power that he has in his organization, those cannot be understated either.
I think you would, if the Commanders were somehow to hire Dan Quinn and Will McClay, I would fear that combination right now. I think you would lose a lot of stability. I think you would lose a lot of stability with your defense. I think you would lose some stability with your front office. I think you would lose two guys that completely understand what it's like for the marriage of the scouting department and the coaches to work together. I think they work shoulder to shoulder very well. I think it's very smart for the Commanders and Carolina to interview both, because to me, that could be a package deal right there. There's a lot of trust between those two. They work very well together. Dan respects scouting. Will understands what coaches go through on a daily basis. That understanding, you would lose that with Will. Everything you said, Patrick, about the family and all that, I totally agree. Will's got a son that's finishing up school. I think it'd be a little bit easier for him to move if his son was in college right now. It'd allow him. He had an opportunity. He's from Houston, had an opportunity to get the Texans job, didn't take the Texans job or didn't want to be part of the Texans job. So, you know, he's very family-rooted that way. The Joneses, he and Steven get along very, very well. The thing that drives you, though, as a personnel man is to have your own operation. He's a big, big part of what this team does, and that's why people want him, because they understand he can go find players. He can organize. He can work with Jerry and Steven. Everybody sees that. So that makes him very attractive to teams out there. It's also within your division, you know, would be something with the Commanders that you have to think about, that, gosh, you know, taking the guy that helped you build a power like you have here in Dallas, you know, within the division. But there's always that lure of having your own operation, being able to hire your own people, run it your way. You be the final decision maker here. And so I totally expect that there will be a day that Will McClay does that. I don't know if it's today, but there's going to be a time where I know that he and Dan get along great. Mm-hmm. And everybody around the league that knows both guys well tell me that. That, man, there is a lot of respect between those two. So if somehow it turns into McClay gets the job, I would see Dan Quinn, if that team needs a head coach, I could see you losing both guys to the same place. Yeah. If in fact it came to that.
I'll tell you like this. I think of all the folks out there that are possibilities, I think Will McClay should be at the top of anybody's list when they're looking for a GM.
Absolutely.
You look at what the results have been here in Dallas in the period that he's led the scouting department. I mean, you could say what you want about the results of the Cowboys not getting here or not getting there. Every year, they are competitive. Every single year, they are competitive. And they are getting players that are not just first-round picks, second-round picks. Like, you're getting players lower in the draft. They're getting players in free agency. Like, they are getting
guys.
They have built the team from the ground up, and that is in no small part due to the work of Will McClay and as you said before, the organization of how he puts this thing together and how he works with his team. And you know that more than anybody else, what it's like to have a scouting group
and
be able to pull that together.
Yeah, it's very difficult because he's in the Bermuda Triangle. And if you don't know what the Bermuda Triangle is, look it up. It's Google it. It's a place where planes and ships go to die. You know, I mean, they disappear. But Will is in that area where you got the Joneses on the top of the triangle, the scouts on one side and the coaches on the other. And he's in the middle of that. Mm-hmm. And he does a great job of making sure that each group feels they're important to the process. There was a time where that wasn't always the case. You know, he does a great job of getting everybody involved and making sure that everybody's taken care of, that nobody feels slighted. Like, you could get scouts that would say, oh, the damn coaches get whatever they want. Mm-hmm. Coaches will say, the damn scouts get whatever they want. Ownership says, well, you know, I don't trust the coaches to evaluate. You know, Will does a great job of making sure that everybody, and Steve and Jerry as well, making sure, though, that everybody on that, and because there was a time where that wasn't the case around here. I was a part of part of the front office here where there were things that were outside influences that kind of hampered what we were trying to do. And we all weren't on the same page all the time. And there was that animosity towards each other, the group. And Will's tied that all together. He knows how to build an organization, a front office. Mm-hmm. He knows how to evaluate. And he knows what it takes to win your division. His whole goal is always to try and win the division and then figure out from there on. But you look at where he's really done some, you know, and last year, you know, we'll see about this draft class. I mean, it probably isn't going to end up to being what they wanted it to be. But you look at going back, his ability to navigate Jerry wanting Johnny Manziel and then, no, here, Zach Martin. I know we wanted, you know, this guy, but let's think about this one. I mean, just making the right call, sitting there, and all of a sudden you get Diggs in the second round. Let's sit here and wait. Let's make sure that the board's stacked the right way. That's how you win football. That's how you win. And there are owners around the league that would do anything to have Dallas's roster right now with the way it is from top to bottom. And they would love that. And you go get a guy that helped build all that.
Yep. And one of the hardest things to do in a position like his, and any position of leadership, is manage all three.
Manage up, manage down,
and manage to the side.
Yeah.
Is one of the hardest things to be able to do well.
Right.
You can be really good at managing up and not good at managing down, and vice versa. You can be good at both and not be able to manage across very well. But when you can do all three well, that's what makes really good leadership, and that's what Will has that I don't think a lot of people in this world do.
Right.
All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to jump into the season recap and playoff looking forward. We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is DallasCowboys.com Radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys. And now he's on his phone, on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time. But what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to the break.
Sean Polite is your 2023 Cowboys Fan of the Year, and now he needs your help. Vote for Sean to be given the ultimate title of NFL Fan of the Year, presented by Captain Morgan, by casting your vote on NFL.com/Fan of the Year.
Welcome back. It is the second segment of the break. We're live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. It's time. Actually, this segment's brought to you by Blockchain.com. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I've got a whole list of questions here. Some of them are about the season, the whole season. Some of them about specific players. Some of them are about looking forward to the playoffs. But I'm going to run down these questions for you, and then we're going to have you see what you guys think and kind of give everybody a good synopsis of the season as the Cowboys head into the playoffs. Let's start first with, what do you think was the most impressive win? You had the Rams, where you beat them 43-20. Seattle, where you won 41-35. Philadelphia, where you beat them 33-13, or Detroit, where you won 20-19.
I'm going to go with Philadelphia. Almost went with the Seahawks just because of the fashion in which the offense was explosive in match and serve. But given how much defeating the Eagles meant, particularly at that time, Eagles had kind of snuck away with one in Philadelphia because of your self-inflicted wounds. They come back. They get, you know, it was right after they got beat up by San Francisco. Eagles really needed to avoid a two-game slide at that point. They were looking to, you know, push the Cowboys deeper behind them in the NFC East race. And to not only defeat the Eagles, but to defeat them in the fashion in which they did, could not have been more monumental for the Cowboys momentum-wise, standings in the NFC and NFC East, and a large reason, large part of the reason they are sitting where they are right now with the NFC East title and the number two seed is because they took care of business when the Philadelphia Eagles came to town. So for me, I'm going with the Eagles.
I was going to say Eagles too because of that victory was so tasty. It was so good.
Finger licking good.
It was
like Michael Irvin.
It was so good. It was so good. But I would say the one against the Rams was really good too. Now looking at everything as a whole picture, I mean, you got to remember every team looks different on a week-to-week basis type of stuff. But I think the way that they played against the Rams there, and I was looking more for a victory like that that was not at home, not at AT&T Stadium.
Yeah.
But in that game, it was just everything in the defense, the way that they were playing, how dominant they were. They were still at their peak where the defense was still the one kind of dominating the whole team and really doing most of the work. I miss that. They were really, really good. They're still good, but not at that level. But that, at that time, it was just very impressive, too, the way that they performed in that game.
Detroit, gritty win. I mean, just gritty. I mean, they're going to run. They're going to. Dan Campbell talks about biting kneecaps and fighting you and all that. And, you know, you play the whole game. You play well against the run. You pressure their quarterback. That's the third seed in the National Football League right now. That win right there, that flipped you. You're two, they're three now, just because of how you played that football game. That was huge. And, I mean, the last drive, I know we talk about it, but the way that that team played for 58 minutes up to that, just the grittiness on defense, the toughness they showed, they did enough on offense to win the game. I think the Lions game was the one that got my attention the most.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Brian, and I agree with you because I think that's the style of football that they're going to have to play in playoff games. Yeah. And so it was very refreshing to see them play that kind of close game where they had to deal with some adversity. Yeah. They still had to be tough. They had to make things work. And I think they did that, and they got that win. On top of the fact, in my opinion, that was the best team they played, that they beat this season, was the Detroit Lions. All right, what was the most hurtful loss? San Francisco 42-10, Arizona 28-16, Buffalo 31-10, or Miami 22-20?
Arizona. It shouldn't have happened. It just should not have happened. And you would think going into that game, you rule out three of your offensive linemen, three of your starting offensive linemen, and you think, okay, this is probably, if they lose this game, this is why they're going to lose this game. But that's not why you lost the game. You lost the game because you were sleepwalking going into it, and you were assuming, coming off of what you did against the Giants and the Jets, that you were just going to mow right through the Arizona Cardinals. And the opposite happened. And with the run game, they mowed right through you. James Conner and those guys, they had a day. Josh Dobbs got off to a hot start with the big run on the bootleg to the left, and things went downhill from there. So, I mean, you could look at the San Francisco 49ers, but for me, I look at the 49ers contest as I think that needed to happen. In hindsight, that was the pivot point. That was the come to Jesus moment for McCarthy, the offensive staff, Dak Prescott, the team as a whole, because they were a different team after that week five drubbing at the hands of the 49ers. So I'm actually, in hindsight, I'm glad that happened. They turned the Cowboys into a better team. The Cardinals, though, that loss put you in jeopardy of not getting this NFC East thrown. It put you in jeopardy of not getting the number two seed. So, but I mean, good learning point, good learning experience for them. But that one still stings for me.
49ers. I'm an emotional person, and I can't help it. Just a little bit.
Reportedly.
Just a little bit.
Per source.
But per source. But that game, the buildup, everything that came, that was happening before getting to San Francisco, and then getting there, and then the fact that there was no fight. Because if you tell me there was some type of something happening in that game, there wasn't. Not an any phase of the game, like nothing was happening. They got completely dominated. It was embarrassing. So yes, it worked out because the Cowboys became a whole different team after that week, but at the same time, it's just one of those that, okay, how are they going to play if we get to that point again where maybe they get to play again in the playoffs? I expect a better Cowboys team, but at the same time, it's just like, dang. There was no fight whatsoever.
The game in Philadelphia was the one that bothered me the most because you had a chance to win that one at the end. You wasted a really good effort by your quarterback that day. And your inability to play 9-1-1 football at the end when it came down, you didn't have timeouts, you didn't have you looked like a team that just wasn't prepared. And that bothered me. And especially in a big game like that, a divisional game, chance to win it. You get penalties, you get things happening to you, you didn't handle the situation all that well. You got all the way down there, chance to win it, and you couldn't finish it off. That's the one that bothered me the most because I think that it exposed you on some of the things that you worry about maybe going forward. I think they've gotten better in a lot of those areas, but you still have that in the back of your mind. If it turns in, what have we had happen at times during the Mike McCarthy era when we get to the final few minutes of the game, or not being able to finish a game when you have the no timeouts? We saw it in a playoff game at San Francisco. We saw it in Philadelphia. You got to be able to handle those situations to finish games, and that's the one that bothered me the most because you had a chance to win that game.
I'll go with Buffalo just because of the way Dallas lost, the way they were basically demoralized. They didn't play well in any phase of the game. Like, they played really poorly, and I'd gotten to a point where I'd forgiven them for what had happened the first 5 weeks of the season. Arizona loss, the San Francisco loss, because I felt like, okay, bye week came, adjustments were made, they were a different team, and that's what they'd shown us. So for them to get blasted like they did at Buffalo in the way that they did, where they really didn't put up much of a fight, that's the one that to me was most hurtful, because a lot of these other losses, I can accept a 22-20 loss to Miami on the road. Yeah. That's a playoff-style game. You just didn't come up on – even with the Philly game, they were in contention. They, like you said, they had moments when you thought maybe they can win this game. that, I mean, they were just completely outmatched in Buffalo. And that's the one that just, of all the games in the second half after the bye, let's say, I just felt like they got blasted, even though I thought they were a different team. And that's the only game that still makes me wonder, like, when they get into the playoffs, how are they really going to match up against these teams? All the other games, I'm like, they can match up with anybody. Mm-hmm. They're fine. Even the San Francisco game, mm-hmm. I think there are things that they're doing now that they weren't doing during that San Francisco game that will make them more competitive. But that Buffalo game still has a way of bothering me and making me think, especially, and we'll talk about it tomorrow, talk about a team like Green Bay that says we're going to line up and run the ball. That makes me a little bit nervous because of what happened in Buffalo. All right, let's take our final break. We'll come back. We got more questions we're going to throw at these guys. We'll be back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah's savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Don't put off getting your oil changed, Dallas. Take 5 Oil Change, a proud partner of the Cowboys, is faster than you think. There's no appointment needed and no waiting room. Yep, you heard that correctly. Take 5 is so fast, you don't even have to get out of your car. You can take advantage of Take 5's fast, friendly, and simple service at any of their locations across the Dallas area. And remember, at Take 5, you stay in your car because they're faster than you think. Take 5, the official oil change of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code Cowboys VIP. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code Cowboys VIP.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to the break.
Enjoy premier dining, shopping, and experiences from over 20 restaurants, shops, and more at the Star District. Check out the Woman's Boutique Fleece Style of Frisco. And the official boot partner of the Dallas Cowboy, Lucchese. Enjoy the New Year's celebrations at Snowbird Cocktail Lounge, Concrete Cowboy, and City Works Eatery and Poorhouse. Visit thestardistrict.com for all a full directory of those stores.
Welcome back. It is final segment of the break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. Man, I'm just looking up here at the TVs we have in the background. Mike Vrabel out in Tennessee. Man, this is...
He's out.
Yeah, he's coaches. This week is always really tough because when you work around this building, you start realizing how much... You don't necessarily see it as a fan, but you start realizing how many people are affected adversely by coaches being fired. It's not just the coach. It's his staff.
Right.
It's all of their families that now have to think about relocating and all that kind of stuff. And I know nobody feels sorry for him. I get it. But fact of the matter is, it still is a tough time of the year for those
folks. I think the next domino to fall is we might see Bill Belichick get released.
Vrabel probably
that's
still,
the one
has,
an eye on.
Probably still has a house in Boston. Vrabel does so.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting. Yeah,
I would think that maybe that they would want to bring in Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, in New England.
So, and we'll see that domino falls and then something else happens. Yeah. You know, where Belichick, where does he end up? You know, he's kind of in that Parcells mode right now at the end where. You know, he could probably still coach, but do you really want him doing personnel stuff? I think that's the biggest question with Bill. And he's even talked about that he would relinquish some of that. But, you know, the thing is, if he knows excuse me, Ambar, if he feels like he knows more than the personnel guys, like, because he preps this stuff. I mean, he works hard on it, but again, you're right. The dominoes fall, and you know, here we go.
Yeah, I'll say this: a franchise that's trying to restart, similar to what the Cowboys did when they brought in Bill Parcells. Yeah. Bill Belichick would be a very, very valued asset, I would think, to a team like, let's say, Carolina, or a team like, say, Washington, where they're like, we need to rebuild our entire culture and everything
the
about what
program.
We do.
Yeah, the program. He has an idea of how to put people in place to do that. They just his it's very much very similar to what, and I went through this in Dallas of being a fan in the late 80s with Tom Landry.
Yeah,
that you get to a point in time where the game, as far as, it's not the X's and O's that give you trouble. It's the, you know, it's your ability to see the players and how to build your roster that way. And I think that maybe Belichick, he still believes in how he evaluates, but you talk to people around the league and you look at the way the Patriots have scouted, their roster is just not good enough. And they wonder why they don't win. Their roster is not good enough. That's a problem.
All right, let's finish this off. We got a few more questions that we're going to have as a part of our recap. These both are going to be looking forward. Now, I need you to be careful with the wording of this question, because it's not the most, it is more, all right? Going into the playoffs, which defensive player is more critical to team success? I know most would probably say it's going to be Micah. I'm going to give you some options. I need you to pick from one of these options: Damone Clark, Jonathan Hankins, or Donovan Wilson.
I'm thinking. What do you think, Ambar, Brian?
Those are all good ones.
They are. So good.
They all provide a little something different for you, and that's why you kind of have to really think about it.
Okay, I'll
I think the
I'll go. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, obviously, they're all very, very valuable, but I would say Damone Clark, mainly because of the position, the lack of depth in that position, but also the fact where that position plays on the field. I mean, it's kind of in between. You're helping the ones in the back, and you're also helping maybe to stop the run and help Jonathan Hankins finish the job that he's doing. So mainly because of the position, I would say Damone Clark, and he's trending upwards right now.
It's hard to pick between those three, but I am going to go with Jonathan Hankins. I think Hankins returning and being healthy, and like I said, he looked good against the Commanders. That's going to be paramount against, guess what, teams that like to run the ball. Who are we talking about? The Packers, and we'll get into it later this week. But Packers are a team that love to run the ball. Can you control the line of scrimmage defensively? And Jonathan Hankins has excelled at doing that. And pre-high ankle sprain, he was having a hell of a season, not just as that definitive big body run stopper that can eat up double teams and help maintain gap integrity. He was getting in the backfield and being disruptive in that capacity as well. So for me, I'm going to go with Jonathan Hankins. I think it's huge, no pun intended, having him back on the team.
Yeah, this is a really good list. And, man, but when Wilson's on, and I'm trying to think of all these times and all these teams you're probably going to play that are going to run crossing routes and try and attack the middle of the field. And when, you know, the other day you saw a really good example. They get pass rush, and all of a sudden the ball is fluttering in the air. Wilson's in coverage. They get an interception. His ability to play with physicality, maybe down in the box and against the run. You know, the thing that you worry about, Hankins was the most steady. Clark could be like, he could get lost, and Wilson could get lost sometimes. But if I had to say one guy that can make an impact, coverage and physicality, I think it's Wilson. And with like I say, with all the routes and stuff that they're going to see in the middle of their field, and with him having to deal with that, I need him to play big.
Yeah, I was when I was putting this together, you know, I thought about it. I was like, I don't really need Donovan Wilson for the playoffs. I need Dono. Like, I need that dude. Like, what you notice about Donovan Wilson is he's a guy that when he's on and making plays, he's a difference maker.
He is.
Like, he's not just a guy out there. He's a difference maker. So I need games where we come out of the game saying, oh, did you see what Donovan Wilson did?
Yeah.
Like, those are the kinds of games where you're like, okay, that's the player that the Cowboys paid for. If you're getting a guy that's just solid, that's not what he's best at. He's best at changing games and making those kinds of plays. And I think when he's that guy, no offense to these other guys, but I think that makes a difference, because he's going to make plays behind the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. He's also going to make plays downfield. He'll make plays in the middle of the field. Like, he can be all over the field for you and making plays and making a difference in a game when he's playing that style.
Yeah, he's going to make plays laterally and knifing through for those screen routes as well. So, absolutely. Yeah. That's a difficult three to pick from.
It is. It is. Okay, here's another one. Which offensive player is more critical to team success? Jake Ferguson, Tony Pollard, or Brandon Cooks?
You know, you're really good at hosting, by the way.
It's all right.
No,
look, she's not giving any credit.
No, these questions are phenomenal.
Ferguson, Cooks, or Pollard?
What you got, Garcia?
Man, I'm going to have to go with maybe. Could argue anyone, I was going to go with maybe Cooks.
Yeah.
But it's tough because, man, they've all had their moments, and they all have not had their moments. Mm-hmm. So, but I think the running game, it is what it is at this point. That's that. Ferguson, he's really, really good, and Dak will definitely use him. But at the same time, I wonder what the offense will look like with times where Brandon Cooks is not getting the ball and he's getting open or whatever, but not getting the ball. Him being on the field has to account for something. And I don't know if CeeDee Lamb would still be CeeDee Lamb without someone like Brandon Cooks somewhere out there on the field. So I think his mere presence, even when he doesn't get the ball, is still highly important for this offense.
It's got to be Cooks. Cooks is the one guy that scores in the red zone. You know, you start to talk about, you can talk about Ferguson getting down there. It's really not. CD, you know, has had some touchdowns down there. But what does Dak do when he gets inside the 20? He somehow finds Cooks running a corner route or fade or something. He's always, this guy knows how to get his feet in bounds. He knows how to secure the ball. He
gets separation.
He's quick. You're right, Ambar, about the running game. It is what it is. I'm not relying on the running game. I think it'd be nice if Pollard could play well. I think that would help. But, you know, Ferguson, he does his fair share between the 20s. But Cooks is the one that can make plays from anywhere on the field, but he could also score in the red zone. So I need him to do that.
I agree with you guys on the run game. You know, you want to see Pollard have a strong day, but I'm of the mindset that either Pollard will have a strong day and or Rico will have a solid day. One of those two things will handle it. So in the passing game, I'm going to go with Jake Ferguson. I think going into games, each of the teams that the Cowboys play against, assuming they, you know, win and continue to win, they're going to key in, obviously, on CeeDee Lamb. And now they're going to start to key in on Brandon Cooks and say, okay, well, too many of these teams the Cowboys have faced have forgotten about Brandon Cooks. So they're going to go after CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks, and that's just going to open up things for Jake Ferguson. And then when you look at what Ferguson has done for the offense, Brian makes an excellent point. When it gets down to the red zone, one of the biggest solutions in the red zone has become Brandon Cooks. But moving the chains to get down there, that's Jake Ferguson, right? That's CeeDee Lamb and Jake Ferguson. So Jake Ferguson having a big postseason will play massively in favor of the Cowboys because it keeps things open free for CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks, but it also really stresses those linebackers and it stresses those safeties who have to now kind of focus on crashing down or do I play back or do I crash down because the seams are being attacked by Jake Ferguson, who not only is you know good at possessions, but his yak yardage. Like once he gets the ball in his hands, you really have a time taking him down. So all great answers. Challenging to pick between them all, but I'm going with Jake Ferguson. I think he's the X factor.
I think the reason why this question is important is because, and this is because I play fantasy football in postseason, and one of the things I've noticed, this has been a trend that we've talked about in our little league that happens every year, is you watch in the playoffs, the main guy, the main offensive weapons around the league, typically the first couple weeks of the playoffs, they aren't the guys that really are getting off.
Yeah.
Every team, because every team will come into those games saying, we got to stop this guy.
Yeah.
We got to stop this guy. And they're going to identify those guys, and it's going to be up to those other guys, those other playmakers on the team, to actually make the difference. This is where I think the Cowboys paid the money they paid to go and get Brandon Cooks, is because when you've got a guy like CeeDee Lamb that going into the playoffs, my suspicion is that every team that plays the Cowboys will say, that's our number one priority is to shut him down. If they can slow him down, who's that other guy? And I think Brandon Cooks is the veteran guy you can trust He can make plays. As you said, Brian, everything about his skill set suggests he can do it and can definitely do it at this level on this stage. So I think Brandon Cooks is the guy I'm looking at. And I'm like, this is where you pay dividends. This is where you're going to get the most out of him. All right, before we end the show, Patrick, lab coat, what you got?
Bring me in, Beamer.
Yes, science!
There it is. All right, so started dissecting and charting the film for the Packers from the Packers and also their statistical tendencies. And something that popped out for me is this is a team that does very well at getting pressure on the opposing quarterback. They get pressure almost 40% of the opposing quarterback dropbacks. But digging a little deeper into that, the magic number is 273. 273, ladies and gentlemen. Their time to pressure is 2.73 seconds. Here's where that works in the Cowboys' favor. Dak Prescott's time to throw is averaging 2.69 seconds. So that means if those two things hold true on Sunday, Dak Prescott should have his normal, comfortable amount of time to throw before the Packers can get back there for him. So, again, if that holds true and the Cowboys are expecting their quote-unquote full force of offensive linemen, full complement of starting offensive linemen, just do what you normally do. It should be business as usual. Allow Dak his typical time to process back there, and that pressure won't get back there. But if it goes past 2.73 seconds, Dak should already be making a decision to either get that ball out or get out of the backfield.
All right, it's good stuff. We appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll jump into this Green Bay team. This is not a team that's been that most fans probably are very familiar with because there's so many new parts. We'll break all that down for you.
Young
talk
team.
About that offense. Yeah, talk about that offense versus the Cowboys defense. Till tomorrow, for Patrick Walker, Brian Broaddus, Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!